To Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Our church has been going through a series here in the book of Luke. Just started about 5 weeks ago, and we're going to continue ongoing. Next Sunday morning, we're going to be revealing our theme for 2017. Then after that, we're going to be continuing on in Luke chapter number 2. We're going to be looking at the Simeon and the wonderful character of the Bible that who Simeon is. This morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter number 2, what most people would call the Christmas story or the Christmas passages of Scripture. And then we're going to look at verses 8 through 20. Title of this morning's message is, Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You know, I've been to birthday parties, and most of the time when you go to a birthday party, you know who the person is. And sometimes you don't know them as well, and sometimes they kind of take a walk down memory lane, or they show you pictures and just remind you of different things they've done or different things, people they've influenced, and different things they've that's happened to them in their lives. And so as we're celebrating Christ's birth today, in this passage of Scripture, there's a number of things that gives us a description of who Jesus Christ is. Now, this is not limited. I mean, there's the Bible on every page speaks of a reference in the sense of a pointing towards Jesus Christ. But today we're going to look at the angel's announcement. And as we see the angel's announcement, we're also going to learn from the shepherds, too, about some different things about who Jesus Christ is. I pray you get a blessing from this morning's service as we celebrate the birth of Christ, and as we've been talking about celebrating the Christ's birth all throughout this season, we're going to look at how the angels and the shepherds respond. Let's go ahead and look here in Luke chapter number 2. Let's start in verse number 8. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, you know, if you read the Bible, and you try to understand it, and you seek the Lord will reveal things, the Lord will help you and guide you in this. And me, I like to picture this. I like to imagine when they talk about the shepherds, they're abiding in the field, they're out there doing the work, and they're keeping a watch over their sheep at night, so it's dark, and they're there, and they're taking care, they're doing their responsibilities. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I imagine what that would have been like is to sit there as a shepherds and doing their work and maybe getting ready to go to sleep for the night, and then they have the angel of the Lord appear. Not just the angel of the Lord, it says that the glory of God, and you see what it says, it's that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And I think of the glory of the Lord, I think of the Shekinah glory of the Lord, and that when they enter into the temple, I'm thinking the amazing presence that would have been there with that one angel. It caused those shepherds to be afraid, sore afraid. And I'll be honest with you, I think I would have been afraid too at that moment in time. And then in verse number 10, the angel tells them something. He says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angels were the messengers of the Lord, messengers of God. Sometimes they brought great messages. Sometimes they brought messages of warning. And they were stunned by the presentation of this angel. And he said, look, don't be afraid. So I got good news for you. And then he continues on in verse number 11. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And once again, these men would be looking for that Messiah. And when he uses these words, Savior, Christ, and Lord, they give a description of who Jesus Christ is. And you continue on in verse number 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So the angel says, look, this is the sign that this is the Messiah, that this is the Christ, this is the Lord, this is the Savior of the world. It says in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying. And you can imagine that just the one angel was probably terrifying enough, but then you see a multitude. And I can imagine that, man, that this is the spot and the moment they've been looking for all these years, all these hundreds of years, and all these thousands of years. I can imagine that there was more than just a few angels. They probably all wanted to sing. The Son of God, the Prince of Heaven, came to the world as a man, as a babe, lying in a manger. And they wanted to praise him that day. And that's what we're talking about celebrating, that we see that the angels who did God's will all the time just praise the Messiah. And it says, and what did they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So we see they give the praise, they give the announcement. I can only imagine them holding back the angels until they could all appear at one time and just rejoice and praise the Lord and shouting glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15, it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, so the angels then disappear, they go back to heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So they said, okay, that was unusual. That was surprising. Wow, did you see that? And then they confer with one another, let's go. Let's go see what they're talking about. The Lord's revealed this unto us. Let's go seek out this babe. Verse number 16, and they came with haste. And I like that. They didn't take their time. They hurried up and they went, and it says, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they go and they spread abroad. They make it known abroad. And what are they telling them about? It doesn't even say that they told them about the angels and their presence. They said it's the saying. It's what the child is and who the child is. And they spread this abroad because there was a Savior that came, and the Messiah was here. Verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So as they considered, they wondered, they were in amazement by it. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse number 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So they go back to their flocks to change people. They left seeking, they found, and they come back glorifying. Wow, there's some wonderful things in this passage of Scripture. I know we've heard stories, we've heard messages and sermons, but this morning, let's look at a little while who Jesus is. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today, or what it means, and Lord, what it stands for and what it represents. Lord, you becoming man for us to die for the sins of the world. What the greatest story ever told. Lord, help us to take time to ponder it today. Help us to take time to worship. Lord, we're here today because we want to hear from you. We're here today because we want to honor you on the day that we celebrate your birth. Lord, I pray that we spend our whole lives celebrating the fact that you came. We spend our whole lives telling others about it. But as this day is set aside, Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, and you give us something special today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There's six or seven things I like to pull out of here, and don't worry, none of them are going to be super long, but there's six or seven things I guess I want to remind you that we can learn from this passage of Scripture that will help you understand who Jesus is. You know, like I said, I've been places, and sometimes I've even been to maybe a birthday celebration or even a funeral. You say, well, people celebrate at funerals. Well, they celebrate the life of the person, and it's always nice to learn a little bit about them, to hear a little bit about them, to understand a little bit better about them, the influence and the things that they did. And this story, in this passage of Scripture, there's just some things that, to me, kind of jump off the page. It will help us understand who this Jesus is. Who it is that we're worshiping, why in the world we would come here at 10 o'clock on a Christmas morning where I'm sure there's places and things that all of us could be doing, why would we take time out of our busy schedule to come and hear about Jesus? First thing I want you to see, we find in verse number 11, is he is the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. That's what he says to the angels when they give this description. He says, for unto you, and it's an amazing thing, is this is a Savior to the world. They're talking to the shepherds. And remember, we mentioned this last night. We've mentioned it in years in the past. The shepherds were on the lowest of the totem pole. They were people that were looked down upon. But the angels came to them. The angels came, and that is a picture that how God, his salvation is to everyone. But doesn't even need to say that. In verse number 10, it even says at the end, it says, which shall be to all people. It's the tidings of good joy that should be to all people. This is a message that's not just for me, and it's not just for you. It's not just for those who are in America, not just those that have good jobs or not those that have no job. It's for everyone, to all people, as a Savior to all the world. Now, you think about the word Savior. You know, that word Savior, it talks about someone who delivers us from something. someone who saves us from some type of danger. And as in reference here, what type of Savior will he be? Well, he is a Savior of souls. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, when the angel was speaking to Joseph, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know, we need to be saved from our sins. We need a Savior. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, here when I talk to people sometimes, I think they get confused. I was talking to someone even, I think it was about 9 or 10 days ago, and I talked to him about salvation, and I talked to him about asking Jesus Christ to come into his heart. And I asked him if he felt like he was a Christian. He told me, he told me he thought he was a Christian, but it wasn't like me. That I'm a dedicated Christian, that he wasn't. I said, "What do you mean?" And he talked about, his belief in God. And I said to him, I says, it's more than just believing. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's seeing yourself as a sinner and seeing your need and seeing that you need to be saved from your sins and asking and receiving by faith. And he says, "Well, I have prayed before and I have asked God to help me." And I said, "Well, when?" And I think he was referring to asking God to help him through a difficult time and a hard time and a time that was very out of their control. And I tell you, that's what a lot of people say. "Yes, I did pray. I did ask God to help me. I was sick and I was dying and I prayed and said to God, 'God, please help me.'" That's not salvation. That's finally in your life realizing, "Hey, look, there is a God and things are out of my control." Salvation is when we recognize that we're a sinner and our need that we see that we need help with is the sins that are in our life that has eternally separated us from God and crying out to God, "God, I know that I'm a sinner." And it's not about the prayer, but it's realizing our need, realizing we can't get there on our own and that we need God to save us from our sins. And we've put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's not just saying that I believe there's a God, and I believe he can help me through a very difficult and hard time. No, it's saying, I know that I need to confess my sins, and I know that I need a Savior, and I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world, and he died, and he rose again for my sins. He paid my sin debt. See, that's the Savior he is. I've talked to a lot of people who said, "I prayed. I've asked God to help me." But it's more than that. It's understanding your need and asking him to save you. He is the Savior of the world. The second thing I want you to see is not only is he the word Savior here in verse number 11, he says that the angel says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ." Now, Christ is a word that we don't use very often, except for when we're talking about Jesus, because it's connotated for him, and it's made for him, because it refers to the anointed one. Now, we might have not understood who that was, but those shepherds would have known that as they're looking for the coming Messiah, they would have known that their reference was that the Messiah was here, the anointed one, the one from heaven was here. See, they missed it. They didn't understand they needed a Savior. Most of the people in that time of day realized they needed help with the Roman oppression of the government. They thought that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to reign and rule, and he will do that someday. But in his first coming, he was dealing with the Savior, and the fact that he needed to save people from their sins. But here, the angels say, "Hey, look, he is the Christ, the one promised to Eve in the garden, the deliverer that the Jewish nation was looking for. His first coming was to take care of the sin problem. The second coming is going to be ruling and reigning in our lives." But he says to them, he is the Christ, the one that you've been looking for. I can imagine they were excited. I mean, if they had heard this news from somebody else, they might say, "Oh, they're just crazy." But the angel of the Lord appeared, and not just one angel, but a multitude of angels came and gave them this message. The Messiah was here. What we've been looking for all these years is now here. And the angels there, and they couldn't even hold back. The one said, and I can imagine that the rest, they just wanted to sing and shout because of the Messiah being. So we see not only is he a Savior of the world, he is the Christ, he is the anointed one, he is the one that was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, he is the Christ. Next thing I want you to see is the exact same verse is he is the Lord too. It says here, these three descriptions that are given here, Savior, Christ, Lord, the angel calls him Lord. He's referring to the one who should be in absolute control. This title of our Lord is a reminder to every Christian and to every believer that Jesus Christ should have complete and absolute authority in our lives. Not only is he Savior, not only is the Messiah, but he is Lord, and we should allow him to be Lord of our lives too. The Bible talks about how someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the question is, are you going to make him Lord of your life now and here, even in this world? Yes, someday in heaven, you're not going to have a choice. Someday in heaven, every knee is going to bow. But the question is, will you bow your knee today to what God desires for your life? So who is Jesus? He is our Savior, and that's what we celebrate, his coming. He is the Christ, the promised one, but he also is our Lord. See, God demands total obedience. It's not too much to ask. Even in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it talks about us offering our lives as a sacrifice and how it's our reasonable service that if we would do that. He should be in the leadership of every area of our life. And I want to encourage you today, when we know and understand who Jesus Christ is, he's not just some type of bud. He's not just somebody that was weak. He's not just a babe that was in a manger. He's described as the Savior of the world, Christ, and the Lord. I know sometimes we go through difficult and hard times, but we should recognize him as Lord of our lives and publicly even bow a knee and say, I see and know that you are Lord. It's more than just the babe that's in the manger. He is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. The fourth thing I want you to see is, and we're trying to figure out who this Jesus is, and it's an amazing thought here. He is the one who can bring peace. He is the one that can bring peace. Look what it says in verse number 10. And he says, the angel said unto him, fear not. They were saying, look, you don't have anything to be afraid of. We are bringing you some good news. We saw last night how God was in control and how God is always at work. We saw in the sermon last night how we need to trust in him because he loves us and he has our best interest at heart. And if he can move the Caesar Augustus' heart to tax people so they can get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem where it was going to fulfill the prophecy of Scripture, how God can take care of our little problems, if he can do all those type of things, he can bring peace to our lives. In a day that we live, there's a lot of people that just do not have any peace. They run from here to there. They're worried, they're concerned, they're fretting, they're overwhelmed so often by so many things. But God says here, through the angels, that Jesus' coming was that so he could bring peace. Look what it says in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it's even more than that. It's the idea that the Savior can bring peace to your soul. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There are some things that being in a relationship with Jesus Christ can do that nothing else can do. There are some things in this world that cannot happen in your life without being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of those things is peace. Even in John chapter 14, in that famous time when he's talking and walking with his disciples and heading to the garden, he tells you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In that famous passage of Scripture, in that chapter, he says this in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace that the world talks about is not what Jesus, the peace that Jesus offers. The peace that Jesus offers is a peace that passeth all understanding. One of the things that the Roman government was known for was being a peaceful area, peaceful time. Why is that? It's because anytime anybody tried to rise up, they would just slam them down. Their peace was because they were ruled with a rod of iron. Somebody uprise, they just get rid of them. That's not the peace that God's talking about. The peace, peace, peace that people are talking about in the world, that's not the peace that God's referring to here. The peace that passes all understanding is when we believe in a Savior and we see that God who loves us is in complete control and that we can rest our head on the pillow each night saying, God, I know that you're Lord. I know you're going to do what's best for me. and I don't have to worry about anything. I can give these things over to you. See, who is Jesus? He is Savior, He is Christ, He is Lord, but He is the one that can bring peace to our hearts. Next thing I want you to see is who is Jesus? He is the one we should seek. Look what it says in verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. You know what? Jesus is the person we should be seeking this Christmas. He's the person that we should be looking after. He's the person that we should be trying to reach. He's the person that we should be spending our time mostly to focus our hearts and our interests. I don't know about you, sometimes people seek for that great gift and that perfect present. And I like to think about people when I give their gifts or presents. Lots of times I like to consider what they might like and dislike. I like to show my appreciation and show that I know them when I have that opportunity to be able to give them something they may enjoy. And that's nice in your gift gifting, but you know what? Seeking a perfect gift is nothing like seeking after the perfect one. You think about it. The Bible says that they heard, and think about this transition here. They heard it, they sought after him, and they found him. That's the amazing thing is, if you seek after God, you will find him. The Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Say, I don't hear from God. I haven't seen God work in my heart and haven't seen God work in my life. And many times there's just no room in our heart, like we talked about last night. And when there was no room in the inn and how people have pushed God completely out of the picture. But the Bible says if we'll seek after him with our whole heart, we're going to find him. It says in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And I love the way that they sought after him. They didn't say, okay, maybe tomorrow when it's daylight, we'll go look. No, they said they made haste. It means that they got up and they went and they gave their full attention towards it and they did it quickly. And I tell you, that's how we should be seeking after the Lord. I know we can't do it every single moment of every day, but how many of us really take the time with haste and say, you know what? This is my time to seek after God. I need to search for God. I need to look for God. I need to get in his word. I need to pray. I need to take this time quietly and seek after him, search after him. I need to do this with haste. It can't be second on the schedule. It can't be third on the schedule. It can't be, if I have time, then I'll spend time in worship and I'll spend time in praise and I'll spend time seeking after him. No, it's first and foremost, and we need to do it with haste. I tell you what, sometimes we do things fast and with haste. I know that on Black Friday, and I've been Black Friday shopping before, I love saving money. You know, some people say, oh, you're crazy. Well, I like saving money. So sometimes I go out for the right deal, the right thing. And you know what? Sometimes you have to move with haste. Sometimes there's only a few of something and you got to wait and you got to go quickly. Don't worry. I'm not one of those people that will step on people to get there or start fights and things like that. I follow the rules. I know that. But it's still, we make haste about doing certain things. When's the last time we really made haste and said, you know what? I can't let anything else stop me until I spend some time with God. And they made haste. So he not only is he the Savior of the world and the Christ and the Lord. Not only is he the only one that can bring peace, which I know that many of us need peace today in our hearts. He's the one that we should seek. And once we found him, he is the one we should worship. Look what it says in verse number 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You said that's worship. That is worship. When we go and tell others about what God has done. And once again, they're not telling others. You see this, I mentioned it when we were reading it, that was them concerning this child. They're not telling, oh, we saw this angel and it was huge and it was bright. I'm sure they had mentioned it, but they weren't talking about the angels and all the lights and how great they must have sung. And man, I'm sure they sounded really great. And I mean, they weren't talking about that. They were talking about the saying concerning the child. They were talking about the Savior's here. The Christ is here. Our Lord is here. And that's worship when we tell others what he's done for us. And we even see Mary's response here. Verse number 19. I'll get it right. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know what? Mary took the time to meditate and to think on these things. Verse number 18, it says, all they that heard it wondered at these things. They took time to consider it. You know, I think worship is going to come when we take time to consider. Say, Pastor, I don't really feel much time to worship. I don't see the point. It's, what's the big deal? I think I can almost guarantee if you haven't meditated on the things of God, considered the things of God, you're not going to see the point for worship. Some people will like to add it on. Some people are like, I know I'm supposed to. But when we take time in our heart and we make room in our place and we seek after God, the one response that I know of is we're going to worship Him. You see what happens? They heard, they sought, they told others. And look what it says in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen. They worshiped Him. They glorified Him. They praised Him. As they continue to think on them. Now think about it. They saw the angels. They went to Bethlehem. They had it there. And they began telling everybody. Then they return out to the sheep. You know what happens? They're still talking about it. They haven't just forgotten about it. They're still discussing it with one another. They're still meditating on it. I don't know what they would have been saying, or I can imagine them saying, we've been waiting this long and He's finally here. And, you know, what was it the angel said? What did He mean by Savior? We know what Christ means and we know what Lord means. And, you know, when's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? Why was He in a manger scene? I mentioned last night, if He was born in a palace, those shepherds would have never gotten there. They would have been turned away, but because of the fact He was born in a manger that had access to everyone, the same purpose is God is accessible to everyone who's willing to believe. Last but not least, and I think you probably know what that point is, He is the one we should tell others about. He is the one that we should tell others about. They told them, and think about what the angels did. They proclaimed the birth, they told Him the truth, and they gave Him instructions of where to find Him. When we tell people about the Lord, it's more than just wearing a little pin. It's more than wearing a tie. I don't think there's anything wrong with ties that advertise scripture and pins, and nothing wrong with it, but it's telling them, but also telling them what they need to do. He's Savior. He saved me. This is how I got saved. This is what I was before I was saved. This is how I got saved. This is what happened to me. He gave them instructions to where to find Jesus at. They told them what they had seen, and the people wondered. I tell you, if we live a changed life and we get excited about what's happening and we believe, we act like we believe what we believe, then people will wonder too when they see someone say, what's got them all worked up? Why are they so excited? Why are they so different? It's because He is the one that can change a life. He's the one that we should tell others about. He is the one we should worship. He's the one that should seek us. But I don't think those shepherds were ever the same because God changed their life. I tell you, when we talk about Jesus, He is Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. He's the one that can bring peace to us. He's the one that we should seek after. He's the one that we should worship. He's the one that we should tell others about. But He's the one that can change your life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Has that happened to you? Have you become a new creature in Christ? How does that happen? It's by allowing the Savior, by putting your faith and trust in the Savior of the world. By making Him, by accepting Him and His finished work on the cross. You know what? I don't think that these shepherds that were fearful and went from fearful to seeking, to telling, to praising, lives were ever changed. Lives were never the same again because they met God. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart to save you? It's more than just crying out and saying, God, help me out of this auto accident. God, help me in this financial need. God, help me in this family trouble. God, help me become become this great sports player or bring this boy or girl. It's more than just crying out to God for what you want. It's crying out to God out of need, the fact that you're a lost sinner and in need of a Savior. Let's go ahead and stand.